Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a father of five. We homeschool our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And folks, in a day where the family is coming apart at the seams, all over the world, actually, in Europe, Sweden, France, etc., over 50% of kids born without fathers out there. Public education, folks, has set the direction in the minds and lives of practically everybody in the modern world. Anywhere you look at the Western world, the Eastern world, anywhere in the developed countries, public education has set the direction for the destruction of the family and freedom. The worldview of humanism and existentialism has rotted out nations like France and England and Canada, and the Muslims are taking over in countries like this. Why? Because, well, the birth rates are imploding. Canada is not doing well. The birth rate there is well below the replacement level, hovering around 1.5 for the last 10 years. So the family is being decimated in Canada. And of course, they've got 39, 40% of kids born without fathers up there as well. Now enter home education. In this milieu where you've got the family coming apart at the seams, where the faith is disappearing big time in places like Canada and Europe, anywhere where Western Christianity had touched, basically dissipating right now, homeschooling is a reforming movement now. That's doing what it can to renew family relationships, family discipleship, a biblical worldview, the Christian faith, by discipling children in the homes as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Homeschooling is this reforming movement. Now, it's not a panacea, but what does a parent do when he senses that his child is being raised in a toxic waste dump? What does a parent do when she sees the unsavory social relationships out there in public schools? What does a parent do when he figures out that the worldview being taught in schools is destroying the faith, family, and freedom in this world? What does a family do when they figure out that God has got to come back in his science and history? What do they do? You got to act. You got to do something. And this is a toxic culture. Parents who care about their kids, they want something better for their kids, they're going to have to do something radical to really salvage their children in this kind of a day. And that's why the homeschooling movement, I think, is a viable, important means by which children will be salvaged in this postmodern toxic waste dump. Well, the Canadian homeschool movement is about a tenth of the size of ours here in America, but it's growing. It's growing. It's exciting what's happening in Canada. And I'll be in Canada twice in April. You can check out my online calendar at kevinswanson.com for my speaking schedule around the world. Anyway, in just a moment, Leo Gaumont from Education Unlimited in Canada will join me. So stay with me. Leo Gaumont is next from Canada to talk about the Canadian homeschooling movement. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio program, folks. My name is Kevin Swanson, and today we want to go north of the border. That's right, north of the United States. And we're going to talk with somebody from Canada on the Canadian homeschooling movement. Yes, they've been going for a long time up there. And Leo Gaumont is from educationunlimited.ca. And he's a homeschool father of three children. And boy, you guys have been doing it for a long time, Leo.
Sure have. We started in 1988, so that is our 21st year of actually home education.
Okay.
But I've been involved as a state public school and private school since 1977.
Yes, and you have your three children and your oldest daughter, three children herself, and she's going to be homeschooling as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what a blessing. You've got a second generation. Now, homeschooling in Canada has just maybe a little less of a lifespan than what we've had here in America. You got started, the movement got started in the 80s.
Yes.
Would it be the beginning of the 80s, or where, at what point would you say?
Yeah, the beginning of the, I mean, homeschooling as such has always been around, because there's always been people, for instance, that were too sick or too perhaps handicapped or something like that, that were being educated at home. But really, in those days, they just had correspondence school, which was essentially the delivery of the school program at home.
Mm-hmm.
But probably starting about the early 80s, there were people who were starting to realize that the secularization of the public curriculum was more than they can take, and that they wanted to have more of a Christ-centered education, and started to pull the children home.
Is that why you broke from the public education system in 1988?
That's our main reason. And the other reason, of course, is that, generally speaking, everyone is leaving simply because of the fact that they are unhappy with the public system. Now, whether that's because the public system doesn't share our Christian faith, or whether the public system has got too many bullies, or whether the public system is just failing to meet the needs of the individual child, it's always for that reason. We left because of the fact that we really were noticing things in the school, and my children were in the school where I was teaching, and the things that were going on there were things that I, as a teacher, couldn't handle. I'm sure that my children, who are much younger than me, couldn't handle as well. So that was the impetus behind our going to home education.
So you acted out of love for your children, concern and care that your children have the very best raising and hopefully be protected from some of the unsavory influences they might receive in those public schools.
That's correct. And, of course, the other thing in prayer is I kept asking the Lord for the best education system possible, and, of course, he kept pointing at us.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it started more as a conviction that it was our responsibility in the first place. And then when we realized that we were under no obligation to abdicate that responsibility to the school or to the public system, then we simply took our responsibility seriously and brought our children home.
Now, you've been homeschooling in Alberta.
That's right.
And was there anybody else doing that in Alberta in 1988?
Well, our first meeting that we went to, which is the first year that the provincial organization, the Alberta Home Education Association, was formed, there were probably about 50 people there. So when we first started, there were some, but they were very few and far between. As a matter of fact, they were so few and far between, we knew them pretty well all by name.
Yeah. And I assume there are a few more today.
There are quite a few more today. We're estimating, the government estimates there's around 15,000 people. That would be the 15,000 that they know of. There are still a lot of people here in the province who, against the laws of the land, if you will, have determined to home educate without registering their children.
Okay. Okay, so you're talking 15,000 children in Alberta being home educated.
That's correct.
Oh, boy, that's significant. That's really significant. What percent are we talking?
Well, we've done a percentage of calculation, so we're looking at something under 2%,
okay.
Maybe 1% or 2% of the student population in the province.
That's probably pretty similar to what we have here. I'm guessing we're probably closer to 3% in the state of Colorado. We've probably got closer to 30,000 students being homeschooled. That's my estimate here in the state of Colorado, which would put us probably closer to 3% to 4%. But it is growing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And for a little while, it slowed down a little bit, but I don't know what's happened. All of a sudden, there's a new generation of young people. And maybe this got something to do with the fact that the children who were originally home educated are now moms and dads themselves. And they're coming in, and what we're finding is that when we first started, it was a commitment. Then sort of things evolved into this sort of being a choice. And now we're starting to find once again that the people who are starting are really starting out of a conviction than anything else.
And that, of course, is the key, because what we see here is a tremendous what we call leak rate or a fizzle factor, where people start to homeschool, they'll pull their children out of public schools, start to give them somewhat of a Christ-centered education, and then they get discouraged, and over time they wind up back into the public school system. And I'm guessing anywhere between 50 and 70% of people who start to homeschool in America will quit.
That's pretty well the case here. What we do with our families is rather interesting because but the best time for quitting is about this time of year when everybody, especially for us, is sick of winter and tired of being cooped up and so on. So what we do is when people phone us, we ask them to simply sit down and take a pencil and a paper and to write the three reasons why they chose to home educate in the first place. And once they've done that, we then simply ask them what has changed. And using that technique, people are then reminded of the original reasons for home educating, and those reasons never change. They're usually because they wanted what was best for the children, they wanted that Christ-centered education, they wanted to be free from government control, they wanted to be able to be there when their children needed them. And when push comes to shove, even though he may have a bad day or a bad week or even a bad month or year, those things never change.
Okay, Leo, you've been at this for 21 years. You raised your children in a homeschool environment. Now, looking back, ask yourself the question, was it really worth it?
Well, there are some good decisions that I've made in my life. The most important decision that I've made, of course, is when I gave my life to the Lord. The second most important decision I guess I made in my life is when I found this wonderful lady who became my wife and now my wife of 36 years. And the third most important decision I ever made in my life was my decision to home educate. The regret, I have two regrets. One is I didn't have more children. And two is we really should have started them right from the beginning. What we did, of course, is we did send them to school for a while, and then we had to then go through what we call damage control in the beginning in order to be able to get things back on track in terms of home education.
Now, it sounds to me like you're utterly committed to the home education vision after 21 years. Why are you so committed to it, Leo?
I think having been inside and outside the public system and in separate systems and public, you know, private systems and so on, you know, you take a look at it and God gave children to parents. He gave children to parents. He did not give them to schools. He did not give them to churches either. Bottom line is, God has told us to. When I take a look at the scripture, there's lots of stuff there to encourage us in terms of educating the children, but I do not find anything there that gives us the right to abdicate that responsibility.
But why aren't all parents pulling their children out of public schools, you know, or even Christian parents? Let's just take Christian parents. They send their kids to the public schools. Why aren't they as concerned about this as you are, do you think?
I think the reason, the main reason for that is that the public system is the best system in the world for indoctrination. It's actually far more interested in indoctrinating than it is in educating. So it's indoctrinated us into believing that the school is the only alternative for education. And so then people who have some kind of commitment or some kind of conviction will just turn around and defend this as the only alternative. Most people, for instance, don't even know that home education is indeed an option. Yeah. And then they've already accepted home education as the only option. So it's very difficult. But we've actually recorded all of the people's excuses for not home educating.
Yes.
And it's rather interesting that every reason starts with I. So the bottom line is, we have a choice when we have children. We have one choice. We have no choice in the fact that when we have children, we are obligated to sacrifice. The two choices become, are we going to sacrifice our own well-being for the sake of our children, which is what would be required for home education, or are we going to sacrifice our children's well-being for our own well-being? That would be sending them off to school so we can have a job, have a career, have a life, in which case, you know, we ask the question, why have children?
Yeah. And I think as Francis Schaeffer said, we've got to be careful that we don't sacrifice everything for the life of convenience, a life of materialism, a life of just satisfying ourselves. God calls us to a life of sacrifice. And that may call for different approaches to education. We're not saying one size fits all. This is the only way to educate a child. But if you think that the easiest way to deal with children is the best way to deal with children, you got another guess coming. That should be one of the most obvious points to make, because if you just let it happen, chances are your children are going to grow up and become part of a society where 39% of kids are born without fathers, half of marriages end in divorce, and you've got a train wreck on your hands.
Exactly. The reality is the children are going to emulate. It's hard enough to actually raise them in a Christian environment and have them go out into the world and to live that life. As soon as they step out, as you already know, the minute you turn on the radio or the television or grab a magazine or anything, I mean, the programming to get us away from the Lord is everywhere and all the time. So even sending children off to post-secondary institutions, oftentimes parents are sweating bullets because we know that the rate of loss of faith at the post-secondary level is far higher than what it should be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At least in America, we find 80% of kids out of Christian homes are walking away from church, walking away from the faith in the freshman, sophomore year of their college experience. And so, yeah, it's just a toxic, toxic culture. And I think Christian parents, especially people who care and love for their children, ought to at least step back and say, okay, let's see. We've been really messing up for the last 25, 30 years, for the last two generations. Maybe we ought to try something different here. And that's why I think it's very, very important for us to get out there on the public airwaves and just say, hey, parents, listen, got a lot of problems here, problems in academics, problems in culture, problems in worldviews, problems in all these areas. Maybe you ought to reconsider the idea of home education. And now you have conferences, too. People can come to conferences and learn about home education in Canada.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have there's provincial conferences in every place. Of course, in Canada, much like in the United States, every province, which is the same as every state, has its own education jurisdiction, so the rules and regulations vary from province to province.
Okay, so is it legal in all provinces in Canada?
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay, what's it like in Alberta?
In Alberta, actually, it depends on your perspective. If your perspective is freedom, then Alberta would probably rank as one of the worst for the simple reason that everyone in Alberta is obligated. If you're going to home education, if you're going to educate your children at home, you have to register your children with a school board, okay, of some kind.
Could be private or public?
Yes, there are some private schools. As a matter of fact, we represent a private school that does indeed register and facilitate for home education. But now the problem is that there is some money that comes with that. There is money that goes to the school board, and of the money that is allocated towards home education, half of it is mandated to go towards the purchase of educational material, instructional material for the parents. So, you know, just using a round figure, if $1,500 is available, and it's pretty close to $1,500 per student, $750 of that would be allocated towards the parental purchase of curriculum and supplies. So now that comes with strings attached. With that comes the need for having two visits annually, and of course, depending on the school board, some become very, very onerous in their paperwork and so on. But you are now under the supervision of a certificated teacher. So, you know, from the perspective of people in other provinces, they go, "Oh boy, that's a lot of red tape and a lot of authoritarian muscle." Well, it is and it isn't. If you are, you know, because of the fact that there are indeed believers in home education who are in positions to take care of that, such as ourselves, if you register with us as an example, you've got home education friendly people. And of course, the funding is still there, but we keep it the minimum funding, which of course is the maximum freedom. Then we enter the slippery slope. Then the schools say, what if the students are half time at home and half time in school? Then the government will say, well, I guess we'll have to give you half of the home education funding, which is roughly 25% of your regular school funding, and half of the school funding, which, of course, is, you know, 100%. So it is in the best interest of the school board now to try and get you into what we refer to as a blended program.
We have the same thing here, Leo, where the school districts will get a percentage of funding out of the state if they can bring a child back into the public school half-time from the homeschool environment. So, yeah, we have that. Sort of, we call it the camel's nose under the tent. You know, the camel is rather chilly out there on the cold desert floor and would really like to get that nose under the tent. And pretty soon, you know, the entire camel is in the tent and his master is out on the desert floor, you know. And that's kind of the way we look at the imposition of government controls on the homeschool movement. It's amazing how the government wants to fund and control, well, just about everything in life. You know, and education seems to be really preeminent in this, and there is always this pressure. I don't know if you feel it in Canada. I know we feel it here. There's always this pressure of government pounding on the doors of our homes, saying, let me fund, let me control the education of your children. Let me have at your kids, you know, and there are a lot of parents going, you know, slide the money under the door and we'll talk about the control.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Well, yeah. Was it Karl Marx that says, give me the children of this generation and I will take the world? Yeah. I really do believe that governments, who have now, of course, replaced the vacuum created by society's getting rid of God. So now government has now replaced that void, because we do have to have a God, and it really wants to be in control, because that particular God is not the God that we serve, but the other God. So while our God is promising us freedom, this new God is promising us bondage in the form of control, in the form of and if it's going to cost money to get there, then that's fine. Money is not the reason. It's not their motivation, but control is.
Yeah. Yeah, and we tell parents all the time, if it's a question of money, you need money, just come to us and we can help you out with this. But you know what? I think the government's always trying to present education as far more expensive, far more high-tech than it really is in reality. You know, our the founders of this nation were really, they didn't spend a lot of money on curriculum, per se. I mean, they got a copy of the Bible, they got a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, maybe a copy of Cicero, but, you know, they had 4 to 5 books, and they just went to work. They might have learned Greek and Latin, too, because some of the books were written in Greek and Latin, but they didn't have heavy-duty curriculum like we do today. And, you know, I give the example many, many times of a family who went into the woods in northwest Oregon, and they were in the woods for 4 years, and the 12-year-old daughter tested out as a 12th grade high school graduate after 4 years in the woods. All they had for curriculum was a set of World Book Encyclopedias and a Bible. That's it. That's all they had, because that's all they could afford. But they just sat around and read stuff and learned stuff, and she turned out to be very, very well educated. And I think the idea that it takes a lot of money is just, it's just wrong. It doesn't take money. It takes a parent who loves that child and wants to spend some good time with that child, one-on-one time, teaching basic reading, writing, and arithmetic.
We have to remember that the premise that they start from is much different than our premise. We start from the premise that there is a God and that God created our children, and that as we read Genesis, we find out that his creation is good, and indeed, by the time man was created, it was very good. So that if God has created our children, it is not our responsibility as parents to create something of them. But what we are to do is we have to provide them with opportunity to exercise the things that God put in there in the first place. And learning is something that is put in by God. When we try to program, what we're essentially doing is we're saying that we're a blank slate, that we've got nothing there, and that unless we have something to do with these kids, that they're not going to be able to be successful in life. So if then when we talk about the creation, to put our faith in God in terms of their future, it is not my responsibility to lead my children to some post-secondary institution or some college. It is my responsibility to direct my children to the Lord, and it becomes his responsibility to direct them in their lives.
Boy, what you're saying is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will add the college or the $80,000 a year or whatever to them. God will take care of them. God will give them the junk that they need in their lives. But we got to be really careful to be seeking what God wants first, and that, of course, is a relationship with him, and to cultivate and enculturate faith and character in the life of that child.
That's right. And it's actually, it requires faith on our part.
Oh, yeah.
We either have faith in God and his promises, or we have faith in government and their promises.
Boy, that really boils it down. That really boils it down. You're either going to believe in God or the government.
That's it.
I think that's it, yeah. That's it. Well, appreciate what you're doing. And why don't you talk a little bit to what's happening, Leo, with the homeschool graduates? You've been with this movement now for 21, 22 years. What's happening? Are these guys going to college? Are they getting work? Are they raising their own families?
I think the demographics would be pretty well the same as what you would find in public school, with one exception. In public school, what the main thing that they teach is confusion. that by the time the children finish school, they come out of there, they don't know who they are, they don't know where they're going, and they don't know what their purpose in life is. We have equipped our children with two things. Two of the most important things we can ever equip our children with. Number one, they know who their God is.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and just as important, is they know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're comfortable with who they are. They haven't had this peer pressure that tells them that their nose is too long or that their color of the skin is wrong or they're too short or too fat or too stupid. Or whatever. They don't have that kind of baggage. They're not confused about who they are and for the purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
So that we say that our children, through the home education, having been equipped in that respect, are far more likely to be successful at the post-secondary level. And what I mean by post-secondary is we're done school.
Yeah.
So whether that involves going out and finding a job or going out and creating a job, as in the business, or going to college, we have found that the children have been successful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing we should mention is that even though the United States has done those studies that indicate that 80% of the children who go to college lose their faith, I would say that the percentage of home-educated students that lose their faith in college is far, far less than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time they're going to college, it's not going to be a continuation of that same indoctrination that they've had for 12 years. They're going out there with both eyes open, knowing full well what that college is about, and they're going there to get the degree or diploma or certificate or whatever they require to do the job that the Lord has brought them to.
And by the time they're ready to get out there, they are rooted and grounded in the faith. They've got a biblical worldview nailed down, and hopefully they'll be out there to take God's word to all areas of life rather than being consumed by these pagan and atheistic worldviews.
That's right. Our vision in our organization is training tomorrow's leaders of integrity through home education. And that's what we have. We have people who have become who God intended them to be. He created us as free will and moral agents, and we all have a responsibility to lead in some small way in life. The school teaches us not to lead. It teaches us to be compliant, to be dependent, to do what we're told to do unquestioningly.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing up there, Leo, with educationunlimited.ca. And I would direct folks to your website. If anybody's in Canada and listening to this radio program, check out educationunlimited.ca and Leo Gamond's organization there. Thanks again for joining us on Generations. Very encouraging. I plan to be up there twice in April, first in Alberta and also in Ontario. So I'll look forward to seeing you up there, Leo.
You bet. Looking forward to it. I think it's April 17th and 18th.
That's right, in Red Deer, Alberta. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Leo, and God bless your organization.
Thank you.
Again, folks, for Leo's site, check out educationunlimited.ca on the web. And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. You can interact with the show by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.